Okay, let's get started.
Wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 44 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from AudioTU.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, Shelton Muller. How are you?
I'm really well, Bruce. Really, really well. Yourself?
Fantastic. Thank you.
That's good. That's twice I've been well. This isn't exactly on air. It's online, isn't it? I've been on air today on Radio 3AW
right.
Here in Melbourne. And then, of course, online tonight. So
yep. So the 3AW thing's obviously happening fairly regularly.
The interesting thing about it was that the host of the show, who's fairly well known here in Australia, a fellow named Ernie Sigley, yep. Sort of a bit of a legend in Australian TV and broadcasting, he was a hard nut to crack originally because he didn't think that it would be something you'd talk about on radio.
Right.
And also, he wasn't particularly up with digital photography himself and felt, I think, a little, I don't know, uncomfortable with the subject.
Yep.
But his producer convinced him to have me on air, and then we had so much fun, and I've since let him borrow a digital camera since my stint on air with him last week.
Yeah.
And he's had so much fun with it, you know, because he doesn't have a camera. Ernie would be probably in his late 60s, I would say. And he's never owned a camera, he told me, so I fixed that pretty quickly. Yeah, isn't that freaky? And so between my stint on air last week with him and this week, he said he's had so much fun taking pictures, and we had a good old banter. And then, of course, every time I come on, and this is the interesting thing, every time I come on, the board lights up with phone calls.
Wow.
There are so many people wanting to know just simple questions about photography that, you know, they don't know who to go to, they don't know where to ask, who to ask, they don't know what the answers are.
Yep.
And I get asked, you know, very interesting and often very straightforward questions about digital photography that remind me that, you know, we've got to keep people informed and we've got to take the technology out of it as much as we can and just talk about it simply and make it fun for people.
Yeah.
You know, I often consider that, you know, people who sell cameras and people who promote cameras and photography always talk in terms of pixels and not pictures, and you know, get involved with the technology of it all and not the fun and the simplistic, you know, aspects of photography that, not simplistic, but simple, straightforward principles of photography that help us understand it. You know, we get overblown with technology, and every art has its science, but you know, you can get too carried away with it.
Yeah.
I got asked today on air, what's the difference between a CCD and a CMOS?
Yep.
Sensor. And you know, I've read up about it and whatnot. I probably couldn't answer it straightforwardly, but I just said to the fella, look, you know, in the end, don't buy the camera for its sensor. Buy the camera because you like the feel of the camera and it works well with you. And trust me, both CMOS and CCD produce excellent images. There is a difference in how they render the same image that you will find. But you, at the same time, make sure that, you know, please understand that you're buying a camera as well as a sensor. And it, you might like the sensor and hate the camera, you know? you know, we've got to think, you know, we've got to.
And you're going to have more interaction with the camera than you are with the sensor.
Yeah, you know, and you can always change an image. You can always, whatever you've got to do, you can adapt images, but you've got to work with the camera. And this is where people get so bogged down in the technicalities and the technological aspects of photography, but they forget that you've got to have something in your hand that you enjoy using, that's intuitive to you, that takes pictures that you enjoy, that you get out, that you want to have fun with, because that's what photography is all about. But now we get bogged down in a lot of things that in the end we'll get used to, we'll work out, they'll sort themselves out.
Yeah.
You know, you know, it's fair enough that he asked that question because it was obviously on his mind, but in the end he's going to have to, if he hates the camera he gets with the sensor, then what's the point?
Exactly.
You know? So that's why we do this podcast, mate, to talk about photography and not necessarily just technology. They go hand in hand, but we have to keep a balance on them.
Absolutely.
Mm.
So I'm imagining that we must be up to the fourth part of the equation this week.
Yes, that's absolutely right, which is the equipment part of that formula, which I place last because the other three that we've talked about, pre-visualization, plus knowledge, plus patience, those things must come first and in that order.
Yep.
Having the equipment is vital, but it's the last part of the formula in that order. Because it's probably the most difficult one to attain, in the sense that you've got to have a bit of a budget, and you've got to go out and spend money. to get the stuff in order to match the pre-visualization and the knowledge and the patience.
It does,
but it is necessary.
It does bring to mind that old saying of a poor tradesman blaming his tools, because really it's those other things that are sort of critical at the beginning, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We can turn that formula around and say that the equipment is the most important thing, or, you know, second most important. But I have deliberately placed it as the last part of the equation because it is important. But unless you have the other three, unless you are into the creative aspect of the photography and you've gone through those processes of pre-visualization plus knowledge plus patience, the equipment, you got to have the best equipment in the world. And you can, and if you forego the previous three parts of that formula, it won't work. Mm-hmm. Conversely, you can have the worst equipment in the world, and if you do have a strong grip on the first three parts of that formula, you can take fabulous pictures.
Yep.
So all of this has to be balanced out within that formula that we've talked about for the last few weeks. And that is why I've put equipment as the last thing. But I don't intend to, or I have no intention of minimizing its importance in the formula. I would just put it last because the other three need to come first for the reasons we've discussed. But equipment is important because you may, for instance, see a picture in your head, this pre-visualization process that we've talked about. You then go on to the next step of knowledge. I know how to obtain this image. I have all the knowledge in my head. You then go into the next process, patience. You know, I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to make sure that I'm there at the right time. I'm willing to work through it. But then find that, well, the pre-visualization process indicated that I needed to use a long telephoto lens with a wide aperture, or I needed to use a polarizing filter that I don't have, or I needed to use a good sturdy tripod to make this time exposure work, and all I've got is a small cheap plastic bit of garbage that hardly holds my camera still. So, you know, you can have the first three, but sometimes the unfortunate reality of it is that you do need the equipment to match the vision sometimes, a lot of the time. And it's hard for me to speak, along these lines and expect everybody to do it. I don't expect everybody just to go out and spend all the money on their gear, because for me, it's my tools of the trade. I work with it, and I have to have a fair bit of equipment if I'm going to do my job.
That's
for the
right.
enthusiast, it's a matter of justification.
Yep.
So let's talk about that. I suppose when it comes to your camera, I would always suggest that the photographer have an SLR, be it a film-based SLR or a digital SLR. And I suggest this simply because it gives you the most option and is the best tool of the trade to work with as a photographer. There are some great all-in-one cameras out at the moment. The Lumix cameras are fabulous. You know, for instance, you know, the Panasonics are fabulous. There's some great Nikons and Canons and Minoltas or Konica Minoltas that are out there that, you know, have all this wide angle to telephoto lens technology. But they do have their disadvantages because, well, they've tried to fit everything into one body and something's going to suffer. I've worked with an SLR for years, and I would suggest that, especially the way digital SLRs are going, you should, if you can afford it, buy a digital SLR so that you have all the creative options in front of you. That would be the first place that I would start. But let's balance this out, because a lot of people will spend thousands of dollars on an SLR body and use up a grand total of their budget for photography and not give themselves the optical options and the dynamics of lenses. And really, lenses are our eyes to the world, and each of them has a different, as we've many times discussed on this podcast, each of them has a different take on the world, and each of them to some degree and at some point or another will match our vision. You know, if we've seen a sweeping wide angle landscape but we don't have the lens to match the pre-vision, we're not going to get the shot. If we've seen a tightly cropped, minimal depth of field, heavily compressed, a portrait of someone on the beach or, a wildlife photo, and we don't have the 300 or 400 millimeter lens to do it, we just can't take the picture. So balance your budget out so that you get an SLR body that you're pleased with, but by the same token, make sure that you leave yourself enough option to buy the lenses that are perhaps the most important to your kind of photography. If you're a portrait shooter,
question for you. When people ask me about buying hi-fi gear for their home, I generally say to them, reserve 50% of your budget for your speakers, because that will make or break what you hear. You can put crap at the start of the chain and it will, you know... Well, we'll put it this way. If you have crap speakers, you could have the very best of CD player and amplifier, but it's still going to sound like crap because it's coming through crappy speakers.
That's right.
Is there sort of a percentage that you would work on? Like if you had a specific budget, say I came along to you and I said, Shelton, I've got $5,000 to spend. What percentage of that should I spend on the body, and what should I save for lenses, and what should I save for extra things like flash units and tripods? And
good question, and it gives me pause to think. Off the top of my head,
so you've never been confronted with that idea?
No, because I'm made of money and I'm independently wealthy, so I just go out and buy whatever I want, you know.
That's why you're doing the podcast for free.
That's right, yeah, exactly, yeah. Because I'm independently wealthy, I don't charge anybody for this service. If I had a $5,000 budget, I might spend, say, $2,000 on the body and leave $3,000 for lenses and one flash, or maybe, you know, $1,500 on a body. But I don't think I'd go over $2,000 on a body without, you know, and I would spend the majority, three-fifths, you know, on lenses, simply because the body, in film days, a body was a light, tight container with a shutter. These days, of course, a body is also an image producer, in that it has the technology within it to produce an image, a raw image, a JPEG, whatever it produces. So, and every camera does produce images differently. Getting back to the question that was asked on air today by me, a CMOS CCD, they both render images a little bit differently. So all of that comes into play, but essentially your body is a light tight container onto which you put your lenses, and your lenses are the things that see. Photography is about seeing, so obviously, to my way of thinking, you prioritize your lenses. That would probably be about the proportion that I would suggest, and it's a very, very good question to ask me. I will, you know, only give you a stick for asking while we're actually talking and not, you know, off air, because, you know, it would have given me time to think. But no, you're absolutely right, Bruce, because that would be the kind of priority that I would put on lenses. Not being a big flash person who uses a fan, I do love my off-camera flash that the D200 offers me, but a few hundred dollars on a flash wouldn't be out of the question at all. But to me, lenses are everything, and if I had that $3,000, I'd make sure that I had a wide angle zoom that went from really good wide to medium wide. I would then have a mid-range zoom, and then perhaps I'd spend a fair bit of money, because I like shooting people and culture and candid photography and that kind of thing. I would do that kind of, I'd leave a fair amount for something like an 80 to 200 2.8 because of my kind of shooting. If I was a landscape shooter, then I would probably prioritize on prime lenses, like a 20 mil, you know, a 10 mil or an 11, like a prime fixed lens that is designed for wide angle photography. And I might have one or two or three of those. And then maybe a telephoto zoom for my incidental stuff that I don't use as much. So think and figure out what you want to photograph, and then buy the bits of glass that you need to fit in with your budget and your style of photography. So the equipment there is absolutely necessary. What if you're a macro shooter? You know, what if you like doing close-up work? Well, you know, you can get some good zoom lenses that focus nice and close, and some of the little compact digitals, absolutely, you know, they blow you away with how close they can focus on something. But if you're using unbelievable.
Yeah.
But if you're a DSLR user, you know, you might want to buy yourself a really lovely macro lens, you know, like a 100mm micro, or so you need to think about what you're going to, you know, use lens wise, because your pre-visualization is calling you to see it this way, and you need to, you know, you need to do that. Apart from that, of course, we mentioned filters, you know, seeing it through the eyes of a polarizer and not having a polarizer. You know, with digital these days, we tend to think, oh, well, you know, I'll do it all in Photoshop. One, that's going to take a lot of time, and two, there are some things that you shouldn't do in Photoshop or don't need to do in Photoshop, or perhaps can't even really achieve in Photoshop. Polarization is one of them.
Absolutely.
And I would always suggest that every landscape and seascape shooter should have a polarizer.
Definitely.
But of course, there are different kinds of polarizers. Kokin make a filter I absolutely love called a blue-yellow polarizer, the 173 polarizer. And it's fabulous for seascapes and landscapes.
So it's not like graduated?
No, it actually is a polarizer that both warms and polarizes at the same time, but it'll warm a landscape up while making the sky blue at the same time. It's gorgeous. We'll put something on the web that shows the difference between with and without this P173 Kokin polarizer. This thing just knocks your socks off.
Cool.
So if you've seen the image warm and saturated, but you haven't got the polarizer to do it, or perhaps the Tiffin enhancing filter, which is a good color saturation filter, if you haven't got that, you can't take the picture. If you need a gray or neutral density grad to sort of deepen the sky or match the exposure between foreground and background, and you haven't got it, then it isn't going to happen. If you see a landscape as warm and you haven't got a warming filter to do it, then you're going to have to either change your color balance or work it in Photoshop, or if you're using film, it ain't going to happen. So filters, tripod, do we have a good, sturdy, strong tripod? And we've talked about that many times also on our podcast, the need for a good tripod. Equipment there is absolutely necessary. And the head on your tripod, is it a mongrel of a thing to use, or does it flow with you nicely, easily, quickly, and is it sturdy and strong? The flash, of course, that we've talked about. Now, I love the D200 because it has, off-the-camera ITTL technology, and of course, it's not the only camera technology to have that. So, again, what are you going to buy flash-wise? If you're a person who uses flash a lot, buy the right kind. If you're a wedding portrait photographer, you're going to need a good flash. It's as simple as that. It's going to need to be powerful.
Yeah, you're probably going to need a battery pack.
A battery pack or lots of, good powerful batteries as a backup. It's going to need to have a bounce head, a swivel head. You might, so that whether you're shooting vertically or horizontally, you're composing portrait or landscape, you can swivel the head so that it bounces off a wall, a ceiling. You're going to need a fair bit of power in your flash to make sure that you can retain some depth of field, but also still have enough, whack in the flash to make sure you light everything up.
Maybe the camera grip.
The camera grip, yes. If you can work with it off camera, like in a bracket or in the case of, say, a Metz 45 or the Metz 60s, they're off camera anyway. So really it all boils down to knowing what you want to photograph, what your priorities are, and then dividing up your budget accordingly so that, yes, you've got a good camera body, because that is important. The technology and the quality there is important, but that's not the be-all and end-all. That's not where your photography stops. Make sure that you've got the eyes to see it, you've got the light to see it, you've got all the stuff that you need to make sure that the first part of our equation, pre-visualization, can follow through all that part, all the formula, right up until the point where you say, right, and you spit in your hands and you rub your hands together and you say, right, let's get down to this, and you crack your knuckles and you say, I know how I'm seeing this, I'm going to work this through, let me just grab this lens, and you pull it out and whammo, you take that picture. If you haven't got it there, you can't do it. And like I say, it may sound rather arrogant or presumptuous of me to talk like this, but I all I'm suggesting is do what you can in a balanced sense with your budget to make sure that you've got as many bases covered as you possibly can within the arena of photography that you prioritize. And then, of course, next year, there's always another birthday present or anniversary present or Christmas present or whatever for you to get some more gear, mooch gear off other people.
That's it.
Of course, it stands
to reason that if you haven't got the knowledge part of the equation, you're not going to know what equipment you need anyway.
Yes. And in that, it's very interesting you mentioned that, because the two work together. Sometimes you don't know what an 11mm lens looks like until you look through it. And then you go, wow, this is cool. Boy, I can see so many kinds of pictures now.
Yeah.
And, conversely, you don't know what a 200mm 2.8 looks like until you point it at somebody and go, oh, this is cool. So the knowledge and equipment part, yes, you're absolutely right, are hand in hand. And you'll find that your knowledge will increase with the variety of, especially lenses, that you have in your bevy of equipment there.
Yep. Okay, mate. Well, thank you very much for all of that.
My pleasure.
And we'll talk with you next week.
I got to come up with something new now. I've relied on this formula for weeks now, and I've just, you know, found it all so easy. I've got to come up with some new idea. So this is where we'll hand it over to our listeners and say, email me with a question or email me with a suggestion, something that we can talk about. And remember, we're not here to talk about technology as much as we are about photography. So give me some ideas. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are.
Fantastic. And of course, we've only got a week or two before Shelton heads off, so better make it snappy with those emails. And
yes, for sure.
Remember, you can email Shelton directly, shelton@audiotu.com. Okay, mate, we'll talk with you next week.
Look forward to it, Bruce. Thanks, everyone.
See you, mate.
Bye.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotu.com. Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
Audiotu.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
Control D to bookmark.
Audiotu.com.